5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
And welcome to Tech Talk then, from home again. The question is, how many deliveries will I get during today's programme? That's the question I often like to ask myself. And we know the answer to that question because of Dougal the dog, who will always show me up as he does. Anyway, let me welcome once again Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet to the programme. Hello to you, sir.
Hi, Stephen. Hi, everybody.
Andy's here as well. Hello, Andy.
Hello, you too. How are you both doing?
Oh, do you know that I think this lockdown thing is going to come away at the end. And do you know the funny thing is, we'll still never see Robin, because we always do it this way. This is the thing for us. This isn't anything new. The only difference is Andy has to put up with me in a studio normally, and the air conditioning is on at Arctic temperatures.
It is
missing that
a little bit. Yeah, is it weird that I can say I miss your face? No, I think that's going a step too far, really, isn't it?
You know, I'll be honest, I'm kind of amazed at your candor there. I thought you were going to be rude, but that was very
Never.
Kind.
Yeah.
Taken by that.
Magnanimous I am, so I am.
Well, you can surely get pills for that. Anyway, look, let's move on. We've lots to talk about today. We're going to be focusing on RNIB's reading services and the new service that has just officially launched, but has actually been out for a few months now. Robin, are you signed up?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Good. You should be, because it's against the law not to be in this place. You know that. But no, you have to be.
I've been forever, up, you know. For a long time, yeah.
Well, that's right. But we had Overdrive. Let's just skip past that particular moment in history and forget that and move on. Leave it dead at the side of the road if we can, because, quite frankly, we've moved on and reading services is here. And it's great. So we're going to get more on that. James Bartlett's talking to Roland Myers. James is from the RNIB Reading Services Library. He is going to be talking to Roland about the whole service and giving you a bit of an update on what's available and how to get it. We'll get to that in a moment. Also, I thought I'd maybe help people out who are wondering how the app works if you want to use Easy Reader for this particular service. Because the thing is that RNIB has got a great website designed for this, but there's no app. You can't download like an RNIB Reading Services app. So what the RNIB recommend you do is download the Easy Reader app from Dolphin. Now, I've tried this app a long time ago. I thought it was good. I didn't like it with Overdrive. That's no great shock. But that Overdrive support, it seems, has now gone away. And it's now the reading services that is on there. So what I'm going to do is I haven't yet signed in. Shocking, I know, but I've been using it through the website. I haven't been using it on my phone. So I thought for all of us, I would sign in to the account and sort of show you around the app. So I'll get to that as well. Because some exciting news on the way, some narrator improvements. Robin's not very impressed, I think it's fair to say.
Could do better.
let's just say, I think what is happening with narrator, and I always get in trouble when I say, if I ever say narrator's good, someone jumps on my head for this, because, you know, I think people think as soon as you say that, every employer in the land says, well, we're not paying for this JAWS anymore, or Access to Work says, well, you don't need that anymore, just use the one that's bundled with Microsoft. The truth is, we aren't there yet, and although narrator is clearly developing in a positive way, it's still a good few years behind all of the other screen readers, which, in fairness, have been around a lot longer and, you know, been developed at a much faster rate. Whereas it's really in the last 3 years we've seen a real push towards better accessibility through narrator. Do you agree with that, Robin?
Yeah, I mean, a horse analogy, I would say JAWS is a thoroughbred. NVDA is a pretty darn fine beast, but... Oh, he's like a donkey. Narrator is like something that will get you from A to B, but will give you a lot of problems on the way, and has got a bit of a character, has character issues as well. So, yeah.
Oh, a donkey with character. Do you know, next time I see that Donkey Sanctuary ad, I'm going to feel sad again after you said that. No, I think that's a bit unfair. I mean, it's got issues, that's for sure. And those issues, let's be clear, are around performance. in a lot of cases. But bearing in mind you're using it on a virtual machine, not on an actual machine.
Yeah, but if Jaws is snappy, then why isn't Narrator, which is built in when Jaws isn't running? Yeah, but we'll talk about what the updates are and we can, you know, air our thoughts a little bit later on.
Also, there's lots of other news we're going to get to as well. Andy, in the email inbox, I'm assuming it's bursting full as usual.
Yes, as you can imagine, yeah. Because every time we cover the emails, then they just get a load more in. So yeah, thank you for sending your emails. We will get through all of them as quick as we possibly can.
Are you suggesting people don't send in their emails? Is that what you're telling us to do?
Moving on.
Only to save your eyesight. Is that what it is?
That'll
is this what we're trying to do?
Christmas
keep an eye on your eyes. Yeah, exactly. That's right. No, please do keep your emails coming. We do love them. And it's great to get your feedback. We're also really glad we sorted out the Opticon thing as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was exciting. We got was it Garth, wasn't
it?
Garth and Ireland. I can't remember the other guy's name now.
Oh, it's been so long,
but there was the other. I know, it was a whole week ago, and the world's changed so much in that week that it was beyond recognition. We got everyone sorted on that. So, yeah, I don't think we're going to start a swap shop here. I mean, I know it sounds like a nice idea, but I don't think I could deal with the pain of it, to be honest. Mm. But I do think it's a good idea, and I think it's something that we as a group, as blind people, should think about as what we could do with that. But anyway, let's get on to the crux of the conversation today, which is around the RNIB Reading Services Library. What is it? How does it work? How do you access it? And what do you get on it? Those are the questions I guess all of us have. Well, Roland Myers is here with some of those answers.
RNIB has recently introduced its new free online library service of accessible books. The charity's library service, funded by voluntary donation, sends out up to 10,000 books per day and lent more than 1.5 million titles last year on CD, USB and as digital downloads. Although the Braille and large print sections of the library have been disrupted during the pandemic, the various audiobook options are very much available and, as mentioned, now also accessible online. This newest RNIB online platform already has more than 26,000 titles, making it the UK's largest online library of talking books. And as well as talking books, RNIB's online library offers a growing number of books in e-Braille, which means people are able to download titles and read them on an electronic Braille display. James Bartlett, RNIB Library and Newsagent Manager, explained how, without detracting from the more established audio formats, listening to audiobooks online can offer some extra advantages.
Our talking book service that we provide on CD and USB is much loved, and that's one thing when you can get the post to arrive with the CD and the USB. But we've been working on this new online service, so you can pick and browse the books and you can download a title and be reading it straight away. And if you find you don't like that title, you can just go straight back onto the library and go and find another book to read. And you're not waiting for something to come in the post. You can be reading a new book again in just minutes of time. And we're particularly pleased because one of the things that customers had often mentioned to us was there was a difference with the range of books that we offered on CD and USB and a smaller selection on our online platform that we were working with. We've been working with our publishers, and they've been much more amenable to their content going onto our new platform. And we already have more books on our new online library than we had on our previous one. So this is us taking the next leap forwards in how we offer content to people. So we've already got over 26,000 books on our online platform in audio format, and we've got thousands more queued up to join them as well. And we're hoping to get to a point where whether people borrow a book from the platform or from a CD or a USB, it's a one-for-one match between the two collections.
Right. I was going to ask about that, whether you are aiming to have exactly the same selection of books on CD, on disc, on USB memory stick and online. Is that the goal?
That's very much our ambition. We want people to have equal opportunity, whatever route they decide to access the library through. And just looking a little bit beyond our talking books, we've actually started to add e-Braille books. We've taken our first tentative steps and we've reworked existing Braille books that we have electronically. So people can download the book. And if they have something like an Orbit Reader 20 or any other Braille display, they can actually read the book electronically. We're at a starting place with this, but we're very excited about it, and we're going to grow our content. And in the end, we believe we're going to have probably somewhere like 8,000 or 9,000 titles available. So it's providing different routes to our library collection.
And getting back to the library service, the online library service of audio books, talking books, how's that laid out? How do people find what they want to read? Because you've got, what, as you were saying, 26,000 titles up there.
So on the website, there is a search engine and you can put various filters onto it. You can say you're looking for RNIB produced content only, Daisy Audio. You can pick from genres and categories, you know, whether it's fiction, crime, thriller, romance. And you can also put in the title, the author, you know, for example, I like Jerome K. Jerome's work. And everybody's heard of Three Men in a Boat, but he wrote a wealth of other books that we have in our library. So people can browse those. But I also wanted to add that there is an app, Easy Reader, available from Dolphin. You can use that to access our library service as well. So if people have smartphones, either Apple or Android, they can download and read books just as happily on that as well. And again, you fill in the search criteria, author title, and it comes back with the books available and you pick one, download it, and off you go.
And is that kind of notion perhaps a word of encouragement for people who might not have a computer, may have always thought, I don't want to go online, but they might have a smart mobile phone that talks to them? Is this the way things are going, and certainly with your library, of making it available online, but also on an app?
I think so. It's about offering multiple routes for people to access our content. And I think it's an open secret, but one of the other things that we're looking at and exploring how we can make this happen is delivering it through smart speakers, Amazon Echoes and Google Home type devices. So that's not ready yet, but it's something very much we want to work towards. And we are regularly asked by customers, is that something we offer? We recognize the demand and the interest, and we are exploring how we can make that happen. Because there's a lot of people may not have a computer at home, but they will have an Amazon Echo that may have been installed by family. And we think that this would give them, again, the next step up on being able to read our content with ease.
And should you want to know more about RNIB's online library, you can phone the charity's national helpline on 0303 123 9999. That's 0303 123 9999, or alternatively you can email them at helpline@rnib.org.uk. More information is also available on the RNIB website at readingservices.rnib.org.uk. That's readingservices, all one lowercase word, .rnib.org.uk. Finally, we heard from James Bartlett there that the RNIB online library can also be accessed using the Dolphin Easy Reader app. This is a free, accessible reading app for readers with dyslexia, low vision or blindness, and it can be used to listen to a host of collections of talking books and newspaper libraries. The app can be downloaded in the usual way from the Play Store and App Store for both Android and Apple smart mobile phones.
Thank you, Roland. A comprehensive guide there to the Easy Reader app, but also the RNIB library. Now, Robin, of course, lots and lots of information there about the library. Brilliant that eBraille is now part of it as well, EPUB as well, so you can get more books. That's the key. Not all of them will be in audio, but you will get access to new books. And this, of course, opens up the potential here, because a book may not be available instantly as an audiobook, but it is available in EPUB format, which means that you can get your synthesized voice to read it if you want, or you can, if you've got enough vision, you may be able to read it with large text on you know, on your device, on your computer or an iPad, say. So lots of options. That's the key, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm actually going to use that number that they told us about just then to call them and say, hey, guys, because there are still only 7 out of 31, I think, Hamish Macbeth titles.
Are you still mourning
online? It hasn't moved. The needle hasn't moved since we started talking about it. And they're not just the first 7, it's a random 7. So maybe, you know, if you find holes and audio is your preferred format, which it would be for me. I'd always prefer to have a human reading it than the EPUB or whatever. But, you know, I mean, brilliant if it's available in text format and it's, you know, not going to be available in audio for a while, then definitely go down that route. But, yeah, if you've got holes that you want to have filled, or if you've got, you know, particular authors that aren't supported yet, but you know that they are on CD, they've got the files. It's just a question of prioritising. So I'm actually going to call that number and request that maybe they prioritise that. Or is that just really selfish?
No, I think you're absolutely right to do that. I think that's exactly what the helpline's for. So, yeah, give them a call. 0303 123 9999. It's there for all of us. Okay, now, of course, Roland mentioned, as did James, the Easy Reader app from Dolphin. And I thought what I'd do is download the app and get it ready to show you here today, because I haven't used it yet for RNIB Reading Services. So what I thought I'd do is I'd log in today here on the show so that I can show you how it works and we can have a look around the player and just get a general feel for it. I mean, we could maybe do something a bit more in-depth down the line, but I think just get an overview of how the app works. So I've got the app here on my phone. I'll just double-tap to open it.
Easy Reader.
Okay, double-tap.
Easy Reader. Search field.
Okay, so let me find the very first item on the screen so I know where I am. So I'll do a four-finger single tap at the top.
Side menu, button.
Okay, so a side menu, I'll double tap on that.
My books, button.
And I'll swipe to the right to see what the options are. My books, there'll be none in there at the moment because I haven't signed into anything.
Manage libraries.
Okay.
Bookshare.
Bookshare.
Apple Books. Project Gutenberg. RNIB Bookshare. Vision Australia. RNIB Reading Services.
Okay, so there it is. I've got RNIB Reading Services. Right, I'll double tap on that.
Alert. Easy Reader wants to use rnib.org.uk to sign in.
Okay, so I need to sign in, and it's going to take me to the RNIB website to do this. Okay, so that's fine. I'll just swipe to say continue.
Continue. Button. Easy Reader. Address. Identity server rnib.org.uk. Secure and validated connection.
All right, so I'm just going to swipe right. I know you could obviously go through headings and all the rest, but let me just explore the whole site for you.
Format options. Button. Reload. Button. Toggle navigation button. Login. Dolphin computer access limited. Heading level 1.
And bear in mind, you do have to have signed up already. Okay, so you have to have a login, otherwise you won't get any further here. You've got to sign up first, get all that approved, and once you're in, and once you're logged in on the computer end, you can then go to the app and start the process of logging in. You're just going to use those same credentials to log in to Dolphin Easy Reader. Okay, here we go then.
Email address. Text field. Email address.
So I'll double tap on the email address.
Insertion point at end. Log into rnib.org.uk.
Now, it's going to give me options because I've agreed, because I use Apple computers, it already saves the email address to my keychain. So as soon as I go to the phone, it recognizes that I have an account and it has the password there. And all I have to do is select my email address and then use Touch ID to confirm the password. And it will actually just drop all that information in for me. Now, you're not going to hear this bit, so turn your ears off a minute.
Alert. Touch ID to log into rnib.org.uk. RNIB Reading Services. Heading.
And there we are. I've got the heading, RNIB Reading Services. Okay, so I'll just swipe around. So I'll swipe right.
Log out button.
Log out button.
Search field is editing. Character mode. Insertion point is start.
That's maybe where we'll begin. I'll find an author that I like. But let's see what else there are.
My reading lists.
Reading lists.
Latest.
Latest.
Categories.
And categories. Okay, so if you want to search and dig into the library a bit, you can do that. But I want to search.
Latest. My reading lists. Search field is editing. Character mode. Left. Insertion point at start. Insertion point at end.
Good. Okay, so I've got this search field up here. I'll type in Andy McNab.
Cap A. N. D. Y. Space. M. C. N. A. B. Easy Reader. Show results in search. Exit wound. Nick Stone, number 12. Andy McNab. Daisy Audio.
Okay, so it's dropped me right onto Exit Wound by Andy McNab. It's in Daisy Audio, so I'll double tap that.
Easy Reader. Exit Wound. Nick Stone, number 12.
And I can swipe right.
Andy McNab. Download. Button.
Okay, so that's the download button, but if I swipe right, I'll get the synopsis.
3 tons of Saddam Hussein's gold is in an unguarded warehouse in Dubai for 2 of Nick Stone's closest excess comrades. It was to have
been
perfect.
Okay, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's good. So there we go. I've got the book, and I can download it. So let's just swipe left.
Download button.
Let's see what happens when I download it. So I'll double tap on download.
Easy Reader. Abort download button.
Don't want to do that. So I'll swipe left to see what's going on.
Andy McNab.
Swipe right.
Abort download button. Preparing. Ellipsis.
Oh, it's preparing. Okay. Let's see what it does.
Abort download button. 25% downloaded.
Okay, so I'm just swiping left and right here. That's not updating itself, so I have to swipe left and right.
Abort download button. 58% downloaded.
just to give me the information. But it is coming down, which is good. So let's see what happens once the book arrives. That's
what download left. Button. 86% download.
Right. Okay, so it's getting there.
Okay. Easier. Open button.
Ah, open. There we go. So open button, double tap.
Play.
And it's dropped me right onto the play button. So double tap that.
Exit Wound by Andy McNab.
And double tap again to pause. Okay, let's now have a look at the player, see what options there are here. So again, I'm going to swipe right and left. Not sure what the play button is on the screen.
Next, heading one only, button.
Oh, okay, and move on by a heading.
Navigation settings, button.
Oh, navigation settings.
That's 15 seconds. There. 2 minutes. 5 minutes. Book default. Page. Heading one only selected. Heading one and two only.
Okay, so that's telling me that there are various options to navigate by. So if I chose, I could move it forward by minutes, or I can move it forward by heading, or other options. That's really interesting. Okay, let's go back.
Play.
It's dropped me again on the play button, which is brilliant. So I'll swipe left this time.
Previous, heading one only, button. Book navigation, button. 0, 19. 13%, adjustable. 0, 2. Back to last reading position, button. Text field, exit wound, 1 of 135. Book options, button. Audio settings, button. Text settings, button. Bookmarks, button. Search, button. Side menu, button.
Clearly, a lot of options, even within the player itself. So, you know, I can choose different audio options. I can choose, I guess, reading speeds. I can navigate by chapters. I can find those chapters because it's in DAISY format. It's a lot easier to read the books than it was with OverDrive, isn't it? So, I mean, the app is brilliant. But it, what's even more brilliant, of course, is it now connects with the reading services as well. So I think the basic premise here is that you really should just go off, get the Dolphin Easy Reader app, sign up for free to the RNIB Reading Services library, which you can do by visiting readingservices.rnib.org.uk. Sign up. It's all very accessible. It's all brilliant. Just get it downloaded. Get it used. So there you go, Robin. Just get on with it, will you?
Brilliant. Really, really good. I mean, I didn't want to interrupt you there, but man, I hope you're not going to get letters, emails about that voice speed there. I mean, it was clear as
probably
well for us, but yeah, no. It would have been twice as long if you'd have had to slow it down a lot. So yeah, I love Easy Reader. I really do. And, you know, the OverDrive thing, that was hugely problematic, but I still used it with Easy Reader as opposed to the actual OverDrive app. But it's just much, much simpler now, as we've just seen. Yeah, really good demo. Really good.
Yeah, really, really happy with that. Okay, well, time now to move on and
news from the internet.
Yeah, let's have a look at the news from the internet, Robin. Let's start with Microsoft and Narrator. Well, actually, let's maybe widen this out a bit because Windows has had a bit of an update. What's to talk about there?
Yeah, so Windows 2004 is the official title, and it's dropped. It hasn't arrived for me yet, but it has for many people. There's not a lot going on in it, really. The main mainstream additions or improvements are Linux. Linux is now built in to Windows, which is bizarre, considering that Bill Gates used to call it a cancer. And also Cortana has been separated out from the operating system. So now it's an app that you can get from the App Store. I think you've probably still got it within Windows by default, but you can delete it. So if you don't want Cortana, I mean, Cortana is a as a brand will still pop up from time to time in Office products, a bit like Siri suggestions and Siri giving you, you know, scraping email addresses and finding appointments for you and that sort of thing on your phone. Cortana will still do that within Office, but as a kind of a separate...
Oh, I get it. So Cortana's become the paperclip.
Oh, yeah. Clippy. Yeah.
Clippy. Clippy.
Yeah, Clippy. Remember Clippy?
Yeah. So... I think those two of them...
I tell you, I'd rather have Clippy than Cortana.
Why didn't they call it Clippy?
No, because Clippy was a nightmare from a... It didn't go down well. I don't think Clippy is referred to with much affection. But yeah.
And that's Cortana.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so yeah, but hang on. I'm a bit stuck on this. So you mentioned Linux or Linux. Mm-hmm. How do we... What's the appropriate...
Linux.
Linux, Linux. Yep. Right, okay. What... What, it's in Microsoft? I'm confused.
Yeah,
I thought Linux was an operating system all of its own.
It is. It's the Linux subsystem, and you would access it a bit like the DOS prompt. So if you brought up the run menu or the probably the start menu as well, and you typed CMD, you can get a command line coming up, which is DOS. It's basically DOS. You can run DOS programs in there. You can commands that are much more powerful than messing about with files in File Explorer. So people still dip into DOS a lot, but you can now dip into Linux and have a full Linux operating system running in that window. Now, you could probably install and run the GUI version of Linux in that window as well. So, yeah, you could probably do that. You can certainly run it in a virtual machine, for example. So,
is it bad that when you said GUI, I just immediately had in my head a chocolate cake melting?
That actually makes me feel a bit queasy. Chocolate has to be in the fridge. We've had this.
No, come on. Look, I don't care what you email about this week, but we've got to get this on a discussion here, because I think somebody's got to back me up on this. Please, Andy, you've got to be the voice of reason.
Arbiter.
Chocolate
Final
in
arbiter.
The fridge. Yep, chocolate in the fridge or not?
I'm afraid it's a not
cracky
from me.
Cracky or gooey?
Not from Andy.
No, it's a not from me.
No.
I did say recently
in one
of our off-air discussions about having a massive bar of Galaxy in the fridge.
Are we ever off-air, really?
No, I don't think
Are
so.
We ever?
But it sits in the fridge, but then, yeah, it's just not... It's not the same as... You've got to wait for it to get to room temperature. I can't eat cold
chocolate.
Exactly.
It needs to crack.
Oh, no. Anyway, moving
that's
on.
That's a discussion. The other discussion.
That's almost as mad as Linux inside Microsoft.
I know.
It's chocolate inside a fridge.
I think that's two questions, by the way. Not only have we got, do you like your chocolate in the fridge, but who do you prefer out of Hamish Macbeth and Andy McNab?
Well, I mean, there's no competition there either.
Yeah. Andy McNab obviously wins. Right, moving on. So Linux is inside. Let's move away from that, because I think, to be honest, as much as I'm bemused by it, I don't think there's many people who will care. I could be wrong. Maybe others do, but I couldn't care less about it.
I think IT professionals would be using a lot of Linux.
Geeks.
Basically. Nerds. I mean, I think it's really good.
Bored.
So the... Narrator, then. Let's talk about Narrator. There have been some updates to Narrator. They're not earth-shattering, I don't think. Things like...
Oh, come now, Robin.
For example, when you open up a web page, and by the way, everybody should be using Microsoft Edge now. If you're still using Chrome, brilliant. Chrome is fantastic, but it's very resource-heavy. And now that Edge is fully Chromium... driven, the Chromium engine, which is what Chrome uses, but it's much lighter. It's much lighter on the CPU. Chrome is notorious for, you know, draining the processing power of your machine and your battery. So go to Microsoft, and it's very, very good.
Are you using it?
Yeah, absolutely. Thoroughly recommend it.
I'm still stuck in the world of it was a nightmare. When it first came out, I still have nightmares about using Edge, especially with JAWS, because as you might remember, way back at the beginning, and I used to get hate in the inbox about this, me criticising Microsoft on this one, and I wasn't criticising, it was just that, actually, if anyone, it was JAWS that was the problem, but they couldn't update it, because Microsoft weren't giving them the code to be able to do it, so... You know, there was an issue there for sure, but now that's all resolved, so I guess it's all working properly now. And interestingly, if you use Narrator, it should be better now with Edge, because that's the absolute best pairing.
Yeah.
So they say.
Totally.
So that's good. If Edge is usable again, that's great. And obviously now in this new setting, I haven't used it. I just haven't gone near it. For no other reason than fear.
Yeah. So the new Edge, definitely, and that's separated out from the OS as well. So that's now an app in the App Store, which means that it can be updated more than twice a year. It has been able to be before, but you'd have to go out and seek it and, you know, have developer builds and canary builds and all that sort of thing. But so that's, I think, going forward, a really strong competitor for your default browser. If you use Narrator in it, then it's going to be more responsive. It's going to be smarter in automatically going into scan mode for particular apps. And it has additional sound effects that will back up or kind of reinforce what a particular item is. So like a link will have a little sound as well. What wasn't clear, because as I say, I haven't downloaded it yet, so isn't available for me. If you go and, you know, via Windows Update, then for me it hasn't shown up yet. But
all right, get over it.
Yeah. What isn't available? I mean, it's not available for me, so I can't confirm whether you can actually stop it a bit like Jaws, from saying the word link at all, because the sound is enough, I find. And having the word link spoken all the time isn't very efficient. So, yeah, but it certainly has sounds like NVDA and Jaws does now. And in Office, it's improved. So in Outlook, for example, when you open up an Outlook email, it automatically goes into scan mode, a bit like virtual cursor for Jaws, and it will start reading the email if you want it to as well.
So, and I know people might think, well, what's the big deal about that? I mean, you know, other screen readers have done this for years. But I think that the fact is, as I said at the top of the show, that there are so many years difference and distance between Jaws, NVDA, and Narrator. I mean, I know Narrator's been around a long time, but it's not been developed as fast as it has been in the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, that I would totally agree. There's many years between them, and Narrator was the first by many years, but I actually get what you say.
It's more the development, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's the development of time.
Yeah.
But actually, now we're in a place where more of these features are starting to come in, and to me, it's like almost backfilling a lot of the features that were missing and should have been there from day
totally.
One.
Totally. And for people who aren't happy with the voices of Narrator, it now supports vocalizer expressive voices. So you could have Ava or whatever your preferred one is there. And you can also download, you can buy Eloquence from Code Factory. They now do a sappy version. So you could even have it sounding like the old fashioned Jaws.
Well, now you're talking. I still use Eloquence on my work PC. In fact, it's funny because my work PC is so locked down, my RNIB PC, as you would expect, it's all locked down and secure and all that, and I can't do anything with it without asking an IT person to, you know, let me through to do it. So it's interesting, I got my Eloquence voice and my IT person had to set the rate for me, but had to judge it based on what he thought.
Yikes.
And I can't change it. You can't change the settings without admin privileges, which is just bizarre. I don't know why that is.
Well, that really is bizarre. Because normally...
Yeah, even IT are like, what?
When you change that dialogue, it doesn't come up with a admin, you know, user access center thing. So that
is... with me.
Wow, man, they really do take their job seriously there.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think... I think that something is being pushed at the Freedom Scientific end for that, because certainly there's no desire, I think, to lock that down. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to? But, you know, if I wanted to change my voice on there, I'd maybe change it to, because on my home PC, on my MacBook, I've got a virtual machine running Windows, and on it, I've got Jaws running with Tom. I like Tom's voice. So I have that running. I know this shocks you, because Ava's, you're one and only.
Yeah, monogamous.
I use Ava on the Mac side because I like to know who's talking at me. You know, if I hear a male voice, I know it's Windows, and I know it's a female voice, it's Mac, which makes sense to me anyway. But yeah, that's good. I like that with the voice thing, though. I'm all for that. So yeah, we're getting that's getting closer and closer and closer. And I wonder, because Eloquence is a much lighter voice because of its very nature, I wonder if that'll help the performance of Narrator.
Definitely.
Arguably. Okay. Any more on that?
No. Nope, that's all I've got to say on 2004, which is bizarre because it's actually 2004. So you'd think it was Windows 2004 and then we'd gone back in time to the NT.
A simpler age.
Yeah.
When nothing worked. Okay. I wanted to put a question out there for Andy in his email list, because this is one what I'm trying to do here, Andy, is get this email list to 20 pages one week, and I think this might be part of it.
We're getting
my help, because I wonder how many people out there actually use Narrator. I've not seen that many emails come through the years that from people saying, hey, I'm a huge Narrator fan, I love this thing, and I'm just interested because we always talk about it. But then people come back and say, oh, no, I use NVDA, or I've got Jaws on my work machine, so I don't bother with this. And I just wonder who might be actually using it. So if you use Narrator, get in touch with us, because I'd love to know what you really think of it.
And not
or if you've
just
dabbled
to
in it.
Use it when your other one has stopped working.
Yeah, because that happens all the time.
Like, use it in earnest.
I did it today.
Yeah.
I did that today because I was in a dialog box and I couldn't get to... I was setting up a Bluetooth keyboard on the PC end of my Mac VM, stick with me on this, and it came up with a dialogue, and I had to type in a code. You know when you pair a Bluetooth keyboard sometimes, you've got to type a 6-digit code in, and Jaws wouldn't read it. So I put on Narrator, and used it for that. And it's great for that kind of thing. But I wouldn't have used it for anything else beyond that. So I just wonder if anyone... what is anyone else using it? That's my question.
You might have to get your cricket sound effect ready for next week.
Well, we shall see. That'll be interesting.
I mean, the question to my mind is, you know, NVDA versus Narrator. Because why wouldn't you use NVDA? So that's probably a question for the listeners as well. You know, if you're using Narrator in earnest, fantastic, brilliant, because maybe we're underestimating it. Maybe we're not giving it full justice. But, you know, have you used NVDA and you've still gone back to Narrator? Because NVDA is really, really good these days.
Well, this is it, right? So if you've got it, this is where we are, right? If you've got Narrator and you're using it, then someone will say to you, well, why are you not using NVDA? It's much better and it's still free. So you're like, okay, well, I'll install that. But then if you have JAWS, you would probably never go to NVDA or Narrator at all, except if you need to use Narrator to help you with something that JAWS can't do. That seems to be the path most people take. But, you know, I'm kind of wondering, so maybe over the next week, as of today, maybe I should turn JAWS off and just use Narrator for the next week. I'll see if I can get the latest update as well. And just see how I get on. Shall I do that and then report back next week?
Well, I mean, I would set your sights slightly lower. See how long you go before you decide that you have to fire up the other one. Because I wouldn't want you to your productivity to be significantly impacted for a week just for us.
Andy, I've got to say, at the beginning of before we started recording this, I said to Robin, well, actually, you said to me, you know, let's not be too negative on this.
Sorry.
And you've been the most negative of
all.
I'm trying to pick up the good luck people at Microsoft spirits on this one. They're working so hard to do this. But no, look, I'll do that. As of today, I'll switch JAWS off. I mean, I've still got it on my work machine, so I'm not going to go crazy. But I'll keep using JAWS on there. But on my own machine, I will use Windows this week and I'll try out various things. I'll do that.
And I'll try Microsoft Edge on Robin's recommendation as well. I'll ditch Chrome and try Edge as well, see what that's like.
Mm. Although apparently, I did read an article that was saying there was an issue, not an issue so much, but Google weren't overly keen on you signing in to your Google account on Microsoft Edge. And there was some part of it that... You know, I think they obviously want you to use Google Chrome, but ultimately they're both built on the same platform. It's all built off the same thing. So I don't know why they compete.
The rendering engine's certainly the same. One note of caution with Edge, if you have 15 tabs open in Chrome, for example, and you like just closing Chrome, and then when you open it again, they're all still there. That isn't the behavior in Edge. It closes all of them. So
really?
Just to be aware of that, yeah.
Right, okay. Look, I know there's other news stories, but I want to get to the emails, Robin, if you don't mind, because there are a ton of emails. Let's get to some emails. Email, we get email. I got pretty Scottish there. Let's get to the emails. What happened there? Here's your mail today. My facade is
slipping.
You've
gone all
right,
let's... You've gone all Hamish Macbeth on us.
Yeah. You've gone all Hamish Macbeth or Andy McNabb. Is he Scottish? Yeah. I have no idea. I mean, I'll be honest with you guys. I just picked Andy McNabb because it was the first name I thought of. And I actually, for a long time, thought Andy McNabb was in Coronation Street. But I think that's someone else. Anyway, let's move on and get the emails.
Just to reflect, you're wanting all of our listeners to say either Hamish Macbeth versus Andy McNabb, NVDA versus Narrator, and also chocolate in the fridge or chocolate in the cupboard.
Yeah.
So all future emails need to have one of those answers in.
It needs to end with that. It's got to have all of that in it. We should maybe put a disclaimer on, you know, we do a reply all. If you ever send an email into the show, you'll get a response back. We should maybe put a new response in detailing exactly the things we want you to say in your email. That would be good as well, yeah. All right, let's get to the email inbox, though. There's plenty.
We're going
to
start with an email from Ken Takahashi. Hi all. I don't know if you've heard, but Stephen and Robin are getting their wish. As of June the 5th, which was Friday, just gone, in America, two new Amazon Fire Tablet 8-inch models are out. The basic Fire 8 is an upgrade with a better screen, a longer battery life, and the RAM goes from 1.3 gigs to 2 gig. But there was also a Pro version, which now the memory goes up to 3 gig, and it has wireless charging. Stephen, you're going to say more on this next week, aren't you?
I am, because... Well, it may not shock you to know I've already ordered one. I did ask Amazon for one to review, but they've never come back to me. So I think my comments about Amazon Prime maybe put them off. But yeah, I uh, I decided to pre-order one just because I thought, let's try this thing. I am expecting it to arrive. So if my dog, my little Dougal, who's over there. Hello, Dougal. He's in the corner right now, sleeping on the little couch in the office up here. If he goes crazy in a minute, that's probably it arriving because I am waiting for it. And I ordered the Fire HD 8 Plus. I've got to say, I hope you don't mind me doing this, Andy, but I've got to bring up the rather hilarious error from you earlier, which was hilarious. Yes. In our WhatsApp group, Andy sent a 18-minute long message detailing his concerns over the naming structure of these things. What is this 8th generation Fire HD tablet all about? It says it's the 10th. Why is it called the 8th? It
was very confusing. He did loads of research, much more than we ever do for this show.
Robin helped.
He did, but he sadly didn't look at the Amazon website, which would have actually given him the answer, which is, it's of course... inches, the size of the screen.
And I was confused. Now, Robin helped clear this up, that's the 8-inch model is the new one that's come out. But
they've had an 8-inch before. They've had 8-inch
They don't go
while.
By generations. So this isn't like the Fire Tablet 10. It's known as Fire Tablet 8. It's just the 10th generation. And you've got 6-inch model, 7-inch model, 8-inch model, 8.9-inch model, 10-inch model. I was getting very confused in that WhatsApp group.
Yeah, well, no wonder. I mean, in fairness, I think the naming structure is ridiculous, especially if you're trying to buy one, because the problem is they don't remove the old ones. So if you go to Amazon, you type in Fire HD 8, you'll get umpteen versions of it, and you've no idea which one is the new one.
Particularly as the iPhone 8 Plus is a bigger size than the iPhone 8.
Exactly. So you think 8 Plus would be bigger, but it's not. It's still 8.
It's plus 8.1. In another way.
No, it's not. It's just more. So it's classed as the Pro version. And this is what I'm intrigued by, because up until now, the Fire HD 8, and I've actually got an older Fire HD 8, which may well be last year's. I have no idea what version it is.
I think that
Right. That's probably the one I've got. And it's not that great with accessibility. When I turn on Voice View, which is their screen reader, it's a bit sluggish. I mean, of course it's not iPad standard. Why would it be at the price point? You know, I paid probably £80, £90 for it at the time. Compare that to an iPad entry level, what, £400? About £349, I suppose, if you're buying the basic one, or the entry level iPad. But it's not got that kind of oomph to it. I'm using technical terms, I apologise. but it hasn't. And of course, it's not going to have that kick. But this one should. So I picked it up for, I think, £109. Which again is still a steal compared to the iPad. But the question is, how good is it if you're blind? I think if you have low vision, this is going to be a great device for you. And, you know, again, you're going to have a lot more apps available to you. I think there's even ways of sideloading apps onto it. So you could have the Google Play Store on there. Instead, you've got their own store, the Amazon App Store, that you can download from. But, you know, I think this is one thing that because they've brought this Pro version now, I'm intrigued. I think it's, what is it, an octa-core processor in it. It's got 3 GB of RAM, so it's got a bit more oomph behind
wireless
it.
Wireless charging.
So that's a great feature, the wireless charging. Is that the first tablet to have that?
I think so.
Surely it can be. Yeah, it might be.
Think of the size of the charger.
Like a dinner plate.
Your charging pad is huge. But you can actually buy, and this is what I do like, it's got a stand which comes with it, or not really buy it, I haven't bought this, but you can buy a separate stand, and it is a wireless charging stand. And it's a bit like what we talked about with the iPhone. If you're buying a wireless charger for your iPhone and you're blind, you probably want to buy one that stands up, because you can sit the phone on and you know that the phone's in the right position. It's the same with this. The charger, the phone, the tablet, I should say, sits on the charging thing, base unit, I can't get my words today, and basically it starts charging, so it's in the right position. But it also acts as an Amazon Echo device. You can use Lady A on it, you can use all the same skills. I mean, basically, it's like you're getting a tablet and an Echo Show 8 as well, you know, together in one, and that I do like. And the size is nice. I mean, the 7 would do me fine, but I went for the 8 because of this extra power that's in it. So it's the Fire HD 8 Plus. And if it arrives soon, then I can review it. And I can tell you about it next week, maybe.
Yeah,
great.
Ken will continue on with a few other points here. As for downplaying Robin's purchase of the Echo Show with a screen, I am on his side. I bought a Show 8 last Christmas because it was only $10 more than the Echo Middle. Ken calls it, which was 79.
See, I like how people use my names.
Yeah.
Also, being totally blind, having a screen on an Echo device is about the quality of use. A screen adds quantity of use. For example, he says, with a Show 8 or 10, I can watch YouTube, Prime Video and Hulu on it, but somehow I can't get Netflix or Disney Plus, which I can do on a Fire Tab 7. Also, my 84-year-old mother likes it as the clock screen has big numbers that she can see from across the room. Now, this is important because we went to 4 different stores last year and looked at 20 models of kitchen clocks and that she can see the time on, and more importantly, program herself. So she's a fan of the Echo Show as well. Glad everyone is healthy and sound. Really want to thank you for continuing the show during troubled times and the work that you put in. Thanks. That's from Ken in California. And there's a PS.
Oh, hey, thanks, Ken.
There's a PS here as well.
Yeah, we're happy to do it.
PS. Stephen's analogies of white cane use to mainstream touchscreen tech is too much cut and dry. I know that you don't mean it as all or nothing, but that's what it sounds like. A better analogy for mainstream versus specialized tech would be screen readers and audio versus Braille. Braille is good to know and use, but is it really useful in education or mainstream workplaces? I know I'm going to get a lot of backlash for this comment, but for example, I use Braille myself for my notes and my labels, but for sighted friends and family, I have Translate, or I use Make Up a Second List and tags in regular text for them to understand. I don't get paid if I fill in a Braille timesheet for payroll. That's from Ken.
Well, that's an interesting, that is actually a very interesting point to bring into this, and actually probably maybe some much needed perspective on that. I take that point, and you're right, because Braille is great, and if you just lived in the Braille world, you'd have a problem. And I guess that's kind of what I'm doing as well. I'm not living in that world of just Braille or just the other, because I know, I mean, if I send Andy an email and I send it, obviously I can't send an email in Braille, but, you know, I could send him a postcard in Braille. That'd be, Andy'd be like, oh, that's lovely, that's really nice, thank you for that, I appreciate it. I assume you sent it because I have no idea who it's from, but it's in Braille, so it's probably from the blind guy. So, yeah, okay, fine. But what do I do with it? And yeah, that's a really interesting point. I'm glad you brought that up, Ken. And thank you for listening, and thank you for staying with us as well. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah.
We appreciate everybody who listens and quite frankly makes this happen every week, because if you don't listen, then we get canned. Simple as that. No pressure. Right, okay, moving on.
So this email is from Ed. Hi, chaps. Thanks for featuring an interview about the latest L Braille. What your interviewee lacked in technical knowledge... quite a lot, he made up for in enthusiasm. Fiery words here from Ed.
Oh, Stuart, I'll be over the moon to hear this.
Robin made an excellent point about the upgrade path, which is one of the reasons why I'm giving it a swerve at the minute. Given the modular nature of the L Braille, I would have thought that it ought to be possible simply to replace the first generation docking station element. However, that version supported the previous generation of Focus 40 display, whereas the new one requires the fifth generation. There should be a way for people who own the previous L Braille to upgrade without having to buy a new Braille display, given that a Braille display has a longer shelf life than computer hardware and may still meet their needs. And if supporting two docking stations is too much, then I'd sell bits of plastic to stick on the side of the previous generations of the Focus 40 so that it sufficiently resembles the fifth generation to fit in the new dock. And turning to a couple of important errors in the interview. Firstly, the L Braille is not a Freedom Scientific / VFO product. It's manufactured by a Russian company called Elita Group. Secondly, you don't need JAWS. Any screen reader which will work with a Focus under Windows 10 will work on an L Braille. Obviously, the experience will be better with JAWS, but JAWS isn't essential. Anyway, cheers. That's from Ed.
Again, much needed perspective on that. Mm-hmm. That's a very good point on that, actually. I've got to say, the Braille device that's intriguing me at the moment is the Mantis Q40. Mm. I love the name Mantis. Just sounds big and powerful. I like it. Anyway, the Mantis Q40 fills a need for me. And I've got to be honest, I'm kind of looking at my little Focus 14 and Focus 40 thinking, you're not long for this world if this comes along, because... I really like the sound of this. It's essentially a Bluetooth QWERTY keyboard with a 40-cell Braille display built in. Hello. This is very intriguing to me. It's also got note-taking capabilities, a standalone unit. You can use it on its own as a note taker, which I love this idea. And also it has the potential for connecting to your computer or to your iPhone or iPad or Android tablet or Android phone, whatever you want it to connect to. Even your Apple TV, even your any TV box that supports Braille could take that. So great potential. And the thing is, the reason I like it so much is because of the QWERTY keyboard. You don't have to go and learn a whole bunch of new commands. That's what's been holding me back, plugging in my Focus 40 into my Mac or my PC, because I keep thinking, I'm going to have to learn so many new ways to do this. And I just don't have the time. I don't have the time at the moment to get into all that. So I'm really just using these as a connection to my smartphone, my Apple iPhone, which I love, and I do love that. But I wouldn't go any further with it at this stage. And that's just me. But for me, that's why this other device now intrigues me. So it's coming out, I understand, at the end of June, start of July, the Mantis Q40 from Humanware. You might have seen a lot of promotion about it from American Printing House for the Blind in the States, APH. They have a deal with Humanware to launch it there. But here in the UK, it will be sold from Humanware in the UK. And it's coming in at around £2,500. Yeah, it's not a cheap purchase, then it never is when Braille's involved, but I am intrigued by this one, so I'm hoping to get my hands on one to try it, and I'll review it for you here, and I'll tell you all about it and see what I think, because I like the obviously connecting two devices. That's great. If it can connect to multiple devices, even better. And I also really like the idea of it being a standalone note taker. I don't have to take a laptop with me into a meeting. I can just take this device in and then go back to my desk, connect it up with my computer and send the notes over. So, I think this could be really good.
Are you fully up to speed on grade 2 now?
No, which is why the 40 cell appeals. Well, yeah, and that's the thing. So I am working through my fingerprint course. This is something I want to do to get grade 2 nailed, but it is a very different beast to grade 1. But I use grade 1 at the moment, so the more cells, the better with grade 1. Of course, with grade 2, you can really crunch that down. But I think this could be a great tool. This doesn't appeal to you, I know, because you've just given up on Braille. You don't care.
Well,
I'm being a bit unfair.
The thing that I've given up on is having the sensitivity in my fingers to read the stuff, because I think if you've got your eye in or your finger in and you're able to tell what a cell is as you zip across the line, then whether it's grade 1 or grade 2, I think the learning curve of what the contractions are is the easier part. Once you've become sensitized to reading what a cell is, which is what I've definitely lost. I really struggle. I can't just move my finger across it. I have to kind of like really interrogate each cell and kind of maybe scrub up and down a bit as well. I don't know. Because, yeah, sorry, guys. This is, I know, distressing a lot of people. But, once you're able to relatively easily read a line of grade 1, you just got to learn the contractions after that. And I'm sure that that's going to be pretty trivial compared to actually kind of getting your skills up for reading the thing in the first place. So, yeah.
You say that, but yeah, it's a bit different when you're learning, especially when you're trying to do it in amongst a million other things as well. That's the problem. If I could just focus a few hours a week on it, and maybe that's what I need to do. I guess that was one of the things I wanted to do out of lockdown was, get out of that time. But unfortunately, that didn't happen because I was ill in the middle of it. And then, work comes back in and, just general life takes over and you're on endless Zoom pub quizzes, which is just ridiculous. Okay, anyway, let's move on because there's more emails to get to and we've not much time left, Andy.
Hi, everybody. A very interesting show as usual, says Pete in Nottingham. In answer to the query from Barry in a previous episode about the iPhone SE 2020 version, there is a David Woodbridge podcast called IC, and that gives a very good rundown on how to use this phone. And a couple of weeks ago, the Blindside podcast also did a short review of the SE 2020 and what's in and what's out. So I hope that helps whoever needs it. That's from Pete in Nottingham.
Good advice. And David's podcast is brilliant. Yeah. Let's move on because there's very little time left, Andy.
So this one's from Graham. I wonder if you could give me a little bit of a help here. I'm interested in an Apple Watch, but because I'm 74 years old and I'm totally blind, the extent of my exercise is walking. I don't know whether the features of the watch are worth it. All I do is the exercise options which are on it. But please let me know what you think about that and what would be a better choice, the Watch 3 or the Watch 4? So yeah, that's from Graham.
First off, there is no 4 because for some reason they deleted the 4. So the only options are 3 or 5. Truthfully, the Series 3 is fine.
Absolutely.
More than fine. But yeah, I mean, maybe you want to talk a little bit about the watch, Robin. I think it's great.
Yeah, I mean, if you know, it can be really good to try to close your rings, to start a workout, and now that it automatically detects when you're going out for a walk and it says, it looks like you're working out, and gives you the option of, you know, outdoor walk as the default workout. So that makes it really good, because I always forgot to start a workout before going out. But I guess the only other app I would recommend is one called Pedometer Plus Plus, two plus signs at the end, because that can give you a nice complication on your watch face of the number of steps you've taken, you know, that day, and the miles or kilometres or whatever it is that you've walked. So I don't think you can get that from the watch itself, but this third-party, very inexpensive app will do that for you. So if it's about going out and walking and, you know, being able to track your exercise that way, that's a really nice addition too.
Yeah, I mean, there's some lovely features to the watch, and it's one of those endless conversations that I have with people. You know, usually blind friends of mine will say, you know, I was thinking about getting an Apple Watch, Stephen, what do you use it for? And I was like, I can't tell you. I don't know what I use it for, but I suppose I use it for, I don't use it for calls, only because I just, maybe it's okay in the house, but when I'm outside, I don't like a speakerphone being out loud. I don't like that. So I don't do that. That's a personal thing. But I do like checking my messages on it. I wish WhatsApp did audio messages on it. That really annoys me that it can't. That would be brilliant, but it doesn't. So you can get your WhatsApp messages. You can check Twitter as well on it and stuff like that. But I've never really found, I mean, I guess the only app I would really say is brilliant is the National Rail app. It's very good. Train Times, it's called. Yep. That's a brilliant app, and it's very
accessible.
You can
bring up your QR code on the screen for when you're going through the turnstiles and stuff, or the ticket man comes along. Yeah, it's a really good app. Tile, I use a lot, which
finds
your keys and that sort of thing. And so, yeah.
I always forget about that. I'm always looking for my keys, and about 10 minutes in, my wife will say to me, why don't you just use the Tile app? And I'm like, oh, of course.
Or ask the A-lady. There's an A-lady
skill. Or ask the A-lady if it's connected up. Look, we're out of time. That's it. But thank you so much for your emails. I really appreciate it. And I know Robin does and Andy does as well, despite the fact he's got to read them all. But hey, that's life. But no, listen, thank you guys for being here again. Don't forget, you can catch the podcast anytime. Just search for RNIB Tech Talk if you're listening to us on Freeview. And if you're listening to us in the podcast, hey, you can listen on the radio as well. That's it from me, from Robin and Andy. Cheerio.
Thanks, guys.